Kaya, Wanju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boolu, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. Roger Ungers is a documentarian who continually presents a new perspective on the world around us. His 2022 documentary, Finding Creativity, saw him explore the complex nature of creativity, and in turn, he reflects on his own creativity. That personal touch is brought to his latest documentary, Shape. Shape is a film that is about physicality, and at times, the exclusionary manner that the gay community can exhibit prejudice against different body types. Shape explores how a community that is often vocal about celebrating diversity can engage in body discrimination. It is quite a powerful documentary and features a wide array of voices talking about physicality and how the community has received different body types. I think it's really quite brilliant, and it screened at the Mardi Gras Queer Film Festival in 2024, where this interview was recorded just after the launch there. And I highly recommend trying to keep track of where Shape will be screening in the future. And to do that, visit Roger's website, which is rogerthatpictures.com.au for more information. There will be a link in the show notes. Thank you again for listening to another episode of The Curb Interview Podcast. I really appreciate it. If you wish to keep The Curb independent and keep us alive, then please head over to Patreon and follow us there for as little as $1 a month for patreon.com/thecurbau. We have a whole bunch of different rewards as well for different level tiers too, so please head on over and support us if you can. For now, here is the interview with Roger Ungers.
Do you think it's possible to be a gay man in the gay community and not be affected by body image in some sort of way?
No, don't think so.
I think that answers your question. I can't remember what your question was.
Groups of gay men are much more likely to be in environments where their appearance and how they look is very centred to that environment.
It seems to be a competition now as to who looks the hottest, who looks the fittest, who looks the best, who's got less body fat.
And then you go, where do I really fit in?
You finish a project, it's now doing the whole journey out in the world and, you know, hitting festivals and stuff like that. You've got that kind of post-festival, post-filmmaking high. And now you're in that transition moment, which is like you're still feeling that joy of having completed something. And then who knows what's ahead? It's a strange feeling, isn't it? Like, I've not made a film, but I've done projects like that. And I know exactly what that feels like. And you're like, what do I do now? That was my identity for so long. How do I progress?
Yeah. It's a joy, and it's like a exhaustion at the same time. You're just like, I need to have a little break, see what the next thing is. But no, it's a massive high, like far out. 2 years of work, like it's a lot of work that went into
it. It's a huge amount of work.
So no, it's been good. Like it's gone really well. Obviously the three screenings have happened already, so it premiered at Melbourne Queer Film Festival. We had a second screening at Midsummer Festival due to the popularity, because it actually sold out in 2 days, the world premiere. So they were like, we'll have you back for another screening during Midsummer. And that was a really one of their bigger turnouts for their screenings during then. And so Mardi Gras Film Festival just a couple of weeks ago, and that was a big turnout as well. So it's been awesome. Yeah, it's been really good. Really, really good.
Congratulations. Like it's a huge thing to get into a festival like Mardi Gras Film Festival, which has been going for decades and is such a huge, it's a huge honor to be able to actually be part of a festival like that. But then to sell out your first session as well, like that's got to be validation to the max. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, it's like, when I finished the film, I kind of thought, oh gosh, is the community ready for this conversation? Because it kind of really goes against the values of equality and diversity. So I was like, oh God, this might go terribly wrong, or this might be, you know, something that is really empowering and meaningful, mm-hmm. which is what I wanted it to be. That was the intention. But yeah, like the fact that it, you know, there's so many people have wanted to see the film and people are still asking me to see the film. I don't have any screenings lined up at the moment, but, you know, there's something I'm working on at the moment. But yeah, it's incredibly validating. It kind of goes, oh gosh, all that hard work just paid off, you know, it was worth it. And the feedback's just been incredible. So, you know, I can't complain at all. I feel very grateful. Yeah.
With that in mind, like, what was the moment that kicked off this idea of documenting this story? Because I know it's something that a lot of gay men or even trans men have been thinking about for a very long time, but verbalizing it is something that's completely different. So what was the instigating moment that you went, I need to make a film about this?
Yeah, look, I myself, you know, have grappled with my own body image. A lot of my friends have as well. And it just seems to be something that's, you know, prioritized in the queer community. And, you know, there's just not really that much stuff out there that's really meaningful or kind of really goes into it in depth. I mean, we do touch it on it every now and again. You know, Butterfly Foundation did a great campaign a couple of years ago about, you know, the parades and Mardi Gras and kind of, you know, that sense of wanting to look a certain way and kind of like the expectations of body image and not to sort of, you know, put too much stress on it. But it's just a conversation that hasn't been had in a kind of a meaningful way, I think. So for me, I really wanted to make something about it. It was almost a bucket list film for me and almost, you know, like my gift to the community to say, hey, look, we're not all alone in this, you know. We understand that there are these issues happening, but we just don't seem to talk about it. We don't really address it. So I guess that was the catalyst for wanting to make it. You know, it was something I was very passionate about, something that I had a personal experience with and something that I kind of really wanted to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like one of the people in the film talks about how Mardi Gras, there's so much skin at Mardi Gras and being comfortable with being like having that amount of your body out in public is really hard. And even if, you know, you're there to celebrate Mardi Gras, you know, that can be quite difficult for people who are grappling with their own body image issues. Was hearing that kind of thing, I mean, I keep on using the word validating, but was it validating that, yes, this is exactly the conversation I need to be putting on film so people, you know, the behind the scenes discussions that have been had between people is now out in public and people can actually address it and do something about it?
100%. Yeah. I mean, look, Mardi Gras, I think is a, you know, that's kind of the first thing that I say to people. It's like, oh, you know, body image and gay men, just look at Mardi Gras. You know, that I think that's a really good example of how there is that idolization of a certain body type out there. And, you know, people who don't look a certain way or what is idolized or what is seen as idealistic, you know, it makes you feel a certain way about yourself, about your body. So, yeah, and it's just something that people, I guess, feel uncomfortable to talk about because it is quite personal. So I guess, you know, in the film, you see people talking about this and it feels you feel less alone. Like your voice is heard. So, you know, it was important to give a voice to a diverse range of people for them to discuss really openly and honestly their thoughts and their anecdotes about body image specific to the gay community. So, yeah, it was very important to have those voices out there for people to not feel so alone and, you know, have a really meaningful discussion about it.
How did you go about collecting those voices for the film and throwing the net open and saying, I want to hear from you, the gay community?
Yeah. Look, there are certain themes that were identified through developing the film. So one of the things I really wanted to expand upon is, you know, this idea that body image isn't just about whether you're physically fit or not, that it kind of has to do with how you feel about your body based on your physical appearance. So what plays into your physical appearance? So things like your race, your age, masculinity, femininity, body shape. So all of these things were things I really wanted to discuss. So in terms of casting, I wanted to find people who, you know, had a, were able to sort of contribute to that discussion. So for example, we've got Budi of Asian descent. So they have a very personal experience with you know, race and, you know, kind of assimilating to a country that isn't of, I guess, their origin, and just sort of the struggles around that. You know, and obviously we've got Aaron, who's the president of the Vic Bears. They celebrate larger body types. So it was about bringing in voices that had were qualified to talk about these things, you know, people who were really passionate about the project and, you know, were really happy to sort of contribute to the messaging that I was trying to put out there.
Mm. Yeah, I feel that this film also works in conversation with another documentary, which is about the gay identity, which is Do I Sound Gay? I think I've got the title right, but it's like one yes. is about the physical appearance and the other is about how gay men sound. And I'm curious if you, did you refer to that film as like how the conversations might take place, or are you aware of it? Is probably the right conversation to ask.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm definitely aware of that film. I really have to go and watch it now that you've mentioned it. This film is kind of more about, I guess, the physical appearance aspect, and, you know, how, I guess, femininity and masculinity, kind of what does that look like physically? And, you know, if you are inherently, I guess, what would be classified as feminine, then, you know, you might have a certain demeanor. So I guess, you know, Do I Sound Gay probably plays more into the, I guess, the characterization of femininity and what that's kind of like, whereas this is more about the physical appearance side. Yeah.
Yeah. And on that, like the in some places, the terms that are used for gay bodies, bears, twinks, you know, otters, all this kind of stuff, they're both used as a term of endearment and, you know, an easy kind of catch cry of this is what the physical appearance of this person is like. But in some places, it's also used as a joke. And then also it can sometimes be used as a way of almost like picking a product off a shelf. Today, I want this kind of body. And it's not about the person. It's about the physical thing. Can you talk about exploring that as well in film? Because you do talk about like the different people talk about those kinds of labels and the terms that are in there. Was that a surprise for you that there's so many different types and, you know, the different roles that it plays in the actual gay community?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, tribes in the gay community are very divisive because I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword going on there. So whilst they create a great sense of security and a sense of community, so if you identify with a bear, for example, they celebrate larger body types. And if you perhaps didn't feel like you're accepted in other parts of or cohorts of the community, then that's a place where you feel safe. But for example, if you were someone who didn't fit the physical appearance of a bear, but you wanted to be a bear, then maybe that might be a little bit problematic because maybe some people might not accept you because based on your physical appearance. So it is quite divisive. So I think there's kind of a couple of things going on in there. And I thought it was really important because tribes within the gay community are very common. You know, any gay man will be able to tell you what a tribe is and be able to identify different tribes. You know, like we've got our twinks, who are kind of the younger gay boys. You know, the twunks, which are kind of slightly more muscly, younger gay boys, have that boyish kind of look. Your jocks, you know, need I say more? We all know what a jock is. Yeah, so, I mean, there's all these different groups or tribes. So I think it was really important because a lot of the tribes are identified by physical appearance. And, you know, this film is about people's physical appearance and their body image and kind of how that, you know, manifests within our community. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I find it so fascinating as well. I watched this alongside, there's another film that was screened at Queer Screen, which was Daniel Monk's film. And I'm terrible at remembering the title, but it's basically him in a hotel room. And it's a really powerful film. And in that, you know, he is a disabled man and he's having to position himself on the apps, for, you know, taking photos so that his disability isn't showing
in the apps. So he's only showing, you know, a part of his abs or something like that. And it's that presentation of how people want to actually present themselves, whether they're disabled, whether they're larger body or, you know, not comfortable in a smaller body. And that conversation about how people present themselves as in the dating apps, whether it's Grindr, whether it's whatever app they want to choose, is such a powerful thing as well. Can you talk about exploring that too? Because it's there's some really, really intense moments in there later on in the film. That
yeah,
quite emotional.
Yeah, look, it's the curating of photos. It's there's kind of a culture out there where we kind of feel that we have to present the best of ourselves, and you know, the best of ourselves is predominantly based on what is considered idealistic. So, you know, if some, you know, I want to look as ideal as I can based on what that ideal body is. So, you know, within the gay community, generally, it's someone who's white, someone who's young, someone who's fit, someone who's masculine. So if you are able to curate yourself in order to look more like that, then there'll be greater opportunities for you to associate with people or to connect with other people in the community, because that'll be seen as idealistic. And, you know, that is what's put up on a pedestal. So, you know, there is this kind of culture of having to be your best, you know, to be validated on your physical appearance, you know, and then, and, you know, people kind of start to put a lot of weight into their physical appearance and kind of say, well, if I don't look like this person, then I'm not worthy. If I'm not validated on Instagram for looking a certain way or, you know, being good looking, then I'm not worthy. So I think that's the problem in that culture is so strong and it's just so present and it's so idolized, and you know, people love seeing that, and people want to be with people who are like that, people want to look like that. You know, it really makes you feel a certain way about yourself and wanting to strive for that in order to feel that acceptance. So, you know, social media and all of that stuff, it's a massive contributor, massive.
And I know that for people who are questioning their identity, whether they're, you know, coming to terms with the understanding of who they are sexuality wise, or if there is, you know, if the whatever fluidity they're leaning into, that adds just a whole nother level of pressure, right? Mm. The thinking about how you actually look and present. And I know as a young kid growing up, for me, like I had body issues to the max and just not sure whether I was actually fitting into any kind of community that I felt like I needed to fit into. And it's so hard to find your place in there as well. Mm-hmm. I imagine for you as the director of this film that you hope that this might become a document that people who are going through that kind of stage in their life, whether they're young, old, because we know that, you know, sexuality, people realize they're, you know, come out as gay later on in life. Is this going to be a point of a touchstone for people where they can look at it and go, it's okay, I'm feeling okay? Yeah. Is that what you want for people to experience with the film?
100%. I mean, look, the most beautiful thing about our humanity is that we're all so unique, you know, that we're not all the same. And, you know, I mean, there is obviously that stress and wanting to sort of fit a certain mold in order to feel accepted. But, you know, like the film's about kind of identifying, you know, body image issues within our community, within our rainbow community, and kind of how that manifests. But, you know, as you kind of get more towards the film, and, you know, those stories are very human. And as you said, it is quite emotional. It does get quite deep. It's kind of a roller coaster ride of emotion. But ultimately, you know, the film is about social change. It's about people watching it and going, hey, this person feels this way. You know, is that all right? Is that all right that people feel that way based on the way we treat each other, you know, in our community? But ultimately, essentially what I'm hoping people will get out of it is that, you know, I'm actually going to associate with someone who doesn't look like me, or someone who, you know, is of a different race, or someone who might be, you know, older than me, because we're all kind of human at the end of the day, and we're all unique and we're all amazing. And there's a great opportunity to connect with someone and, you know, have a really good friendship with someone. Doesn't necessarily have to be sexual. I think that, you know, within the gay community, it is very sexualized. So people do approach with that with that sort of impetus, I guess, is that, you know, if you're someone that I don't want to be sexually active with, or I find attractive, I'm not going to associate with you, which is just a massive, you know, it's a massive kind of thorn in the foot. Like, you know, there's no point in doing that, because there's a great opportunity to meet someone who could be amazing. We're all part of this community, you know, we all celebrate diversity and equality, and we should really lead by example by doing that within our own community, because it doesn't always happen. So, you know, hopefully people watch it and they go, yep, I can identify, you know, I resonate with that person. And many people have said that they have after watching the film, and go, you know, I feel like my voice is heard. And hopefully, you know, people who watch it will go, you know what, I'm going to actually diversify the types of people I talk with. Maybe not lead so much with, you know, having a sexual interaction with someone, but, you know, I might actually be able to have a really good friendship. And, you know, because we all share this common thing of being same-sex attracted, being part of this community, you know, so why segregate it? Let's all come together. You know, we're a strong community when we band together.
Yeah. It's also, I mean, I was talking about the other documentary, Do I Sound Gay? But it's also really interesting. I've been revisiting Taron Brumfitt's films, the Embrace films, Embrace and Embrace Kids, yes, which are just these beautiful body positivity films. And while Shape is not completely about body positivity, like that's not that is part of the message, but it's exploring a lot more than that. I feel it's really quite important to have that conversation, because of the fact that, you know, it is a key point of the film that men, in particular gay men, we don't talk about it all that often, right? It's not something that's really brought up in conversation, so it needs to be raised. And I just find this so wonderful to experience, and getting to see a huge amount of people talking about their life. There's a lot to be proud of here, Roger. You've done, you know, made a really quite a powerful film. Your last film that I obviously chatted to you about was quite powerful too. So I'm fascinated to see where you're progressing as a documentarian. Is that still the area that you're eager to work in?
Yeah, look, I, like initially when I kind of wanted to do documentary filmmaking, I always wanted to make something different, you know, like the next film has to be different from the next one and the next one. And, you know, I'll learn some new things through that. But I actually find, you know, like that, I think the types of films that I guess I kind of want to make is, like, I had a few ideas for some other projects, and they're very much like calling out projects, much like this one, calling out bad behavior. But yeah, look, I mean, I sort of don't know what the future will hold. I really hope that some opportunities will come out of this film. I think this is the best film I've made, you know, third time's a charm, and maybe the next one after that will be even better. But I really just, I stand by this film, and I just really hope something comes out of it. And I really, you know, want to continue to work in this industry, because, you know, unfortunately in Australia, it can be quite difficult to make a film. This film was made entirely independently outside of, you know, funding from the broadcasters. I did get development funding from Screen Australia, which is an incredible thing to get. But, you know, in terms of the funding bodies for full production funding, you know, you do it independently, you work very hard, you have a lack of resources. So, you know, that in itself is, you know, going through the making a film, it's a struggle, and, you know, no one wants to struggle. So hopefully in the future, if I'm able to get some good resources, get some good backing, you know, someone who's a producer or someone who's willing to get there in the trenches with me, and, you know, have a really good team, then, you know, I think it's definitely another feature film will definitely be on the cards, and it's something I strive for. But yeah, so at the moment it's open-ended, but gosh, I love doing it and I want to continue to do it.
I mean, it was such a treat to see your name pop up in the inbox and being like, oh yeah, Roger, wonderful. I was wondering what you've been doing over the years. So it's nice to kind of, I've been doing this long enough that I've had people like yourself just kind of emerge back again and going, hey, let's have a chat about my latest work. Yeah. And it's been such a treat to be able to see people grow. And yeah, I think it is your best film. And it's interesting to see how your voice has changed over the years as well. Like you've solidified in what you want to say. And that is really exciting, because I think, as you're saying, you know, your next one, whatever it is, I'm really excited for, because I think it's going to be, yeah, even better. So
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, no, thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate that. And it's the stuff that like that that kind of wants me to keep going. I mean, ultimately, I do the films because I really want to do them. I'm so passionate about them. But when people kind of say, you know, like I was kind of like, oh, maybe I should do something else. Maybe I should do another job, you know, and just kind of be able to pay my rent and all that sort of stuff. But they're like, no, do not do that. You have to keep doing it. You are so good at what you do. You've just got to keep doing it. And, you know, whilst I kind of believe there's a lot more learning and, you know, I'm not quite there yet, you know, for people to be saying those sort of things just kind of makes you go, well, I think this is my calling. You know, I think this is what I should do. And yeah, so look, I appreciate that. I really appreciate that comment. It, you know, helps me keep going.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Curb Podcast. And once again, if you want to check out Roger's work, head over to rogerthatpictures.com.au and the link will be in the show notes. And if you want to listen to other episodes of the Curb Podcast, head over to thecurb.com.au and also head over to patreon.com/thecurbau to show your support from as little as $1 a month. Thank you all, guys. We'll see you in the next episode.